Okay, we're picking up from the Gemara two lines from the top of Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph. Our learning is once again sponsored Lilish Nishmas Shalarmas Bas Yaakov and Neshama Shalav Aliyah. So we're up to the next Mishnah. And the next Mishnah is going to discuss the fact that the husband, we already made mention of this on Chaf Aleph, that the husband has the right to do hafara on his wife's naziris, just like a neder. This is like a form of a neder. You can remove it also. So the shaila becomes, what happens to the korbanos? So she already assumed she was going to be doing this naziris, and the husband says, you know, I don't want it. And then she had already separated the korbanos, and then the husband removes it. So what happens to the korbanos? So says the Mishnah now, ha'isha shenadra b'nazir. If a woman makes a neder of naziris, befrisha es behemta. And he set her aside the korbanos that she had, she was setting aside her korbanos, right? The Mishnah is telling you, behemta is only in Lashon singular, but it's really three animals brought in, right? You have you have a keves for an ola, a kivsa for a chatas, and an ayil for a shlubin. Those are the three korbanos that you have. So, and her husband then removes her neder, her naziris. So what becomes of the korban? So what becomes of these three things that she separated? Im shelo ha'isa behema. So if the animal was his all along, teitze v'siroi be'eder. So then it means that it's not literally could graze with the other flock, meaning that it is not kadosh at all. Had they been kadosh, then they'd have to be separated, and obviously you'd have to have different halachas. But here we're telling you that it has no kedusha. And the Gemara is going to explain why. The Gemara is going to explain that it's basically, the Gemara is going to get into this, so we'll see in the Gemara. The im shala haisa habehima, but if the animal is really hers, in general, the Gemara is going to ask about this also. Masha kana isha kana baila, the Gemara is going to get into how does she have her own property, but she has her own property. So the lacha is, the chatas tamus, then the animal that was a chatas, that is going to be the most chamar, because the chatas is only allowed to be brought if someone has the avera that they are asking for tshuva for. So if you don't have that avera, so then there is nothing to talk about. You don't have to bring the korban. So that's why a chata shemesa baleil, those two things, you have to let the chatas die. Now you're not allowed to actively kill it. You're not allowed to directly kill it. You have to lock it up and don't get let it starve till it dies. A little bit sad, but that's what has to happen for a chatas. That's the lach about a chatas. Now what about the other korban? That's an ola. So that's just an ola, just a is like a voluntary ola that you could just be makriv the entire thing. So that you can keep. Ola tikrav ola. Shlamim tikrav shlamim. Same thing by shlamim. Shlamim is going to be like a voluntary shlamim. So there actually is a difference between a shlamim of a nazir and a shlamim that's going to be a normal shlamim. Shlamim tikrav v'nechal yom echad v'netim lechem. So normally, if Reuven just says that he's going to volunteer a shlamim, so the halacha is, then you have shnei yamin v'layla echad. We say that. Shnei yamin v'nechalin, shnei yamin v'layla echad. So you have, so like, let's say you bring it on a Sunday, so you have Sunday night, and Monday, so then you could have it until nightfall of Monday night. So, if the shlamim is a nazir, so then you only get one day. So let's say you bring it, let's say on Monday. So if you have it on Monday, you can only eat it till morning of Tuesday morning. That's nechalim v'yom echad. At alos ha-shachar, it immediately becomes pasul. So now over here, it should be viewed, you're voluntarying the shlamim. Still, since it originally had the designation of a nazir, so then you have to be machbir to only give it yom v'layla. It's an interesting machlokas achronim. It's like machlokas achronim, whether this din is d'oraisa or d'rabanan. The fact that once it was originally a nazir, and then the mafreya comes out retroactively that it was not, keeping it in its status, that you can only have it for one day and one night, so is that going to be din d'oraisa, din d'rabanan? It's machlokas achron. The Or Sameach thought that it is going to be a din d'oraisa. The Karanora argues, and he thinks that that's only a chumra in d'rabanan to keep it with its same status. There is another fundamental shaila with regards to two other things. Firstly, the first is when it comes to the machlokas rishonim, when it comes to who's entitled to what. So the meat of regular shlamim, that belongs to the owner, and he gives it to other people. However, there are certain things, other parts of the korban, some are given to the kohen, and that's the din by when you're volunteering. However, when it comes to nazir shlamim, so that's only mutter to a kohen. No one else is allowed to eat it. So it's a machlokas rishonim. The Rush quotes a shita, it quotes the Ri, that says that that it's only to a kohen. We keep it like we would like the time frame, just like the time frame is the same as a nazir. So too, who can eat it is also the same as a nazir. So yeah, only a kohen could eat it. However, the Rambam in Hilchos Nazirus, he argues and he says that it is the regular voluntary shlamim, and even a non kohen could eat it and just give the regular parts that you would give to a kohen. That's another point. And there's another machlokas when it comes to the lechem. So like when it comes to a voluntary shlamim. So over here, the shlub, you have to bring a lachme, you have to bring the lechem that comes with the, I think it's 20 lechems you have to bring for the korban of a nazir. Here, you do not need to bring. So that's I don't think it's machlokas. Actually, I think it might be. Maybe some hold that they do, but lemaisa, things to be the standard is that it does not need the lechem over here. Fine. The Mishnah continues. That what happens to the money? So hayalamos susumim. It was hers. She had money that was susum. Literally means it wasn't specified. It wasn't designated. You didn't designate where it's going. You decided in one lump sum. So you decided to let's say you have $500. $500 for my karbanos, and you didn't say which one is the ola, which one is the chatas, which one is the shlamim. So halacha is yiplu nedava. So then it should go to the nedava. That is the communal karbanos. Discussed this with Shkalim that are brought on behalf of the entire Keila when it's called the Ketz Mizbeach, when the Mizbeach is really sitting idly. So the halacha is that you should bring these korbanos, so that there's always something there. So that also is the halacha over here. That's the halacha over here that you would have to bring it for the Ketz Mizbeach. So that's the Mishnah tells you. And Maos Mefurashin, however, if you specify this one's a chatas, this one's an ola, this one's a shlamim. So then what do you do? So, Dmei Chatas Yelchel HaMelech. Again, we're most chamar. Chatas money has to be thrown into the Dead Sea because you can't be lo nenin v'lo mo'alim behem. You're not allowed to benefit from it, but you would not be chayav me'ila if you did. Generally, you'd be chayav me'ila. Here, the over here, when it comes to, it's talking about only to, that is going to be, that which was supposed to be towards the Mizbeach. Since the money, the chatas here, has to be destroyed, and it's not for actual korban, so then it's not going to be chayav in the isidereisa of me'ila. However, midrabanan, we still tell you that you're not allowed to benefit from that money. So when it says loshon of yam ha'melech, any obviously means any other form of destroying it, also like burning and getting rid of it, would also be another form of destroying it. But it is interesting because someone told me once, I never actually verified this, but I would find it very fascinating, is that they found tons of coins in the Yam HaMelech. So a lot of people probably did throw it in the Yam HaMelech, a way to get rid of it. On the bottom of the Yam HaMelech, apparently they found tons and tons of coins. So I was thinking in my head, if they're following halacha, though, the mamish can't use any of them. They can't. I don't even think they should pick them up. They should leave them there. They're supposed to be destroyed. Those are all the halachas when we say that they should be thrown in the Yam HaMelech. At Lechora, where all these different things that had a Shaila Me'ila and a Shaila of Hekdesh, you should not be touching or using any of them, these coins. That's what I heard once. I never verified it. I would find that fascinating if it's really true that they did find a lot of these things in the actual Dead Sea. Fine. Vaiter Dmei Ola Yavio Ola Molimben. So when it comes to the money of the Ola, so that you have to bring a Korban Me'ila, and you would be Chayev, you have to bring it as a Korban, as a Ola, and if you misuse those funds, you would be Chayev a Korban Me'ila, as we just said, because the rule is generally when something can be brought as a Korban, so then the Halacha of Me'ilas will apply to it. The Beis Shlamim, Yavio Shlamim. The Halacha is with the money that you have for the Shlamim, they bring that as a voluntary Shlamim. V'nechalin liyomechad ve'ein antonin lechem. Over here, it's Beferish, that you would not need lechem with the money purchased. So lechora, that's what he said before. According to most mandamars, who I did when you actually separated the korban, it should be no different that you do not need the lechem. But I think there might be one shita, one obscure shita that says that maybe in the case where you actually separated the animal, it might actually be different, and you'd be chayav to bring shlamim. We just said it before, already mentioned that above, that the standard approach is that pashut, you would not be chayav to bring the lechem, the bread that accompanies the korban of the nazir, even when you separated the korban for the shlamim as well. Okay, so now, just a word of Akdama over here, is that the Mishnah is telling us that if they were the husband's animals, they're not going to have Kedusha after you're made for the nether. So the question is how do we view the status of those things that the husband is providing for the wife? L'chora, is it a mamish a chiyuv? Is it a chiyuv? Or is it something which he can do? So the Gemara says, so the Gemara is assuming that over here, that there is no chiyuv in the Havamina. The Gemara is saying, man tana debal lo mishtabila. Who is a tana of Aramish who assumes that the husband is not obligated to provide the woman, his wife, with the korbanos? So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chista. Rav Chista says, Rabbanan, he must be the shita of Rabbanan, who are arguing on Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbanan hold that a husband is not obligated to support his wife in terms of giving her animals for her korbanos. So when the Mishnah refers to his animals, referring to he voluntarily gave the turn, it makes sense that we should have this chiluk when he is made for the neder. You're going to tell me the shita of our Mishnah is the shita of Rabbi Yehuda and the brisa that we're going to quote in a moment. The halacha should not be that this animal is totally allowed to graze in the flock and not be hektish at all. When he's obligated to support her and give her the korbanos to bring these korbanos, so then he should be chayav. Therefore, it should be considered hers, and if it's considered hers, there should be no distinction between if they were hers or his, and both of them should have a halacha where they were considered at one point shayach to be bringing as a korban. So therefore, you shouldn't make a chilek in halacha, and it therefore can't be the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And what is the shita of Rabbi Yehuda? So now we're finally going to quote it. The sign of the Braisa tells us, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Adam Mevi Korban Asher Shel Ishto. So what is the, when a person is very wealthy, his wife didn't come in with any money into the marriage. So, and then we have a concept of Mashakana Isha Kana Baila, which we're going to mention on Amud Beis. So, the question is over here, is that if she's very poor, and she has to bring a korban, we have certain korbanos which are called Ola V'yored. Like a certain khatas you have to bring. So if you have a very rich person, so he has to bring Kisbos Ira, a middle person brings an oaf, and the poorest of the poor brings the flour. That's where we learn Echad Amar Be'ev Echad Amami, the Vilvat Shechav and Libel HaShemayim, because they all say Reach Nechoach. So the Gemara learns that whatever you bring, if it's the must that you're, Hashem doesn't want you. So there's a famous statement that the Reb Zusha used to always say. So Reb Zusha Baruch Hu is never going to ask me why I wasn't Mahalik a brother, the Noam Lamelach. Hashem's not going to ask me why I wasn't the Magen of Mezrich. Hashem's not going to ask me why I wasn't the Baal Shem Tov. He's not going to ask me why I wasn't Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. But he's going to ask me, where was Zusha? Meaning, where was the person of the full potential? The person who could accomplish the most. Hashem wants us to do what's the best for us. So a side note over here, that so there's a concept that the rich person, he wants them to bring the to his means, the nicest korban. But even the poorest person, if he's giving everything he's got, Hashem also views it in the same light. So back to over here, Adam has to bring korban asher ishto, even though his wife is not wealthy, he's very wealthy, so he has to bring a korban asher for the korbanos that are all of Yorod, as we mentioned. And any korban that she is chayav in, so he is the any korban that like a chatas or things like that, he is obligated to supply her with the korbanos. Otherwise, when it comes to voluntary korbanos, however, he's not chayav to supply her with these korbanos. The Rosh explains as far is that when the woman's angry, she's just going to say, "Oh, I'm making a neder to whatever, make 15 korbanos, very expensive, so it's $1,000 for the husband, and he'd be obligated to pay her for that." And so he'd be scared every time they're going to fight. That would not lead to good shalom bayis. So therefore, we do not make him be meshabed for things that she's volunteering. Nazirus, the Rosh asks himself. The Rosh asks his kasha, what do you mean? Nazirus is also voluntary. She doesn't have to do Nazirus. No, Nazirus is sincere. Because of the fact that you have all these restrictions of being metal lameis, drinking wine, and all these things, so therefore she wouldn't do it just to hurt her husband, and therefore we treat that like a korban, which is a chiyuv, and the husband has to give them to his wife, according to the shita of Rebbe Yehuda. As the Gemara continues, according to the Braisa now, that's what he wrote in Ksuba, Kolor Chayas Tislach Alai Min Kadamas Dina. That I'm going to have mortgage all my property, all claims that which you have upon me, even those from before now. You're agreeing to have to take responsibility for his wife's obligations, even things that were before the marriage. So certain karbanos that she volunteered to take, the husband would have to give them to her when they are, in fact, when they're now married. Rav Amar. So now, so again, this was the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. We're assuming it's only Rabbi Yehuda because the Gemara quotes it as shitas Rabbi Yehuda and doesn't mention it as the Tana Kama. So if you would just mention it stam, seemingly everyone would agree. But if you say Rabbi Yehuda, it sounds like only Rabbi Yehuda was of this shita, and others disagreed with him. So Rava says, Rav Amar, afilu teima Rabbi Yehuda, you could even argue that the Mishnah is consistent with the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who understands that a husband is obligated to supply his wife with animals for her korbanos. When is he obligated to her? It's only for something eventually needed by her. Something which is not needed by her, meaning, according to Rava right now, he's arguing that the husband, with regards to Nazirus, that's not considered something she needs, and therefore he was never Meshabi to that point, and therefore the Ksuba's obligation would not include this of this Nazirus, because she's not bringing the korban when she's done. Therefore, they were never hers, and therefore the comes out of Mafreya retroactively that the hektish of them was going to be ineffective. So Rabbi Yehuda can't accept the lacha of the Mishnah that the husband is made for the neder, the animals have no kedusha because they were really his. So now the Gemara says a different version of what exactly happened. This version, the Gemara is telling us that the the things which the Ksuba is telling us, the wife are not automatically considered her property. Now, who is this Tana of our Mishnah, of Chist, Rabbi Yehuda? Similarly, we're saying Rabbi Yehuda, who tells us the husband is obligated through Ksuba to supply his wife with the korbanos that are a chiyuv. So the Gemara says, "V'chiv shabim la v'milsa detzrichala." But even when he's obligated there, it's only for something that's eventually needed by her. V'milsa detzrichala lo, but something that's not, then he has no obligation. So the Rabbanan, because you're going to tell me that the mission is the sheet of the Rabbanan, lo mishaved l'klal, the husband has no chiyuv to her, to any korbana. So how then can we say that the animals have any hekdesh to them? So therefore, since he has no obligation, any animals she takes from him are not hers, and therefore she cannot be makdish them. So the mission implies that if not for the fact that the husband had been made for them, the animal would be in fact hekdesh. So therefore, how could it be that according to the Rabbanan that he should be obligated to provide her with her korbanos? Could go into Aknila in a case where he gave her the right to, he decided to willingly give the right to the korbanos. So only then would they in fact be hers. So then, if that's the case, though, how then can the Mishnah make a chiluk between the animals that are his and hers? So the Mishnah cannot be considered the sheet of the Rabbanan according to this, because according to them, in both cases, they're either completely hers or not hers at all. There's no in-between. According to Rabbi Yehuda, where there's a shibud, that the husband is obligated to give these korbanos, it makes sense to make a chiluk between the two, because it could come out, I'm afraid the shibud is different. But here, in both cases, the husband gave them to her, then that's the only way she can have korbanos to hers, so how could there be some that are his and some that are hers? So says the Gemara to this, turning on to the next time, in Chavdal Adam Abiz, Rav Amar, you could even say that the Mishnah is consistent with the Shita of the Rabbanan. Because even when he gives her the right to take the animals, it's only for something eventually needed by her. Something that's not needed by her does not give her the right to take them. So even though her husband gave her the animals, they're not necessarily fully there, or hers are on a condition, it was ki'ilo he might have tied them. So therefore, if he later is made for the nether, she does not need these animals. It comes out l'mafreya that it was not a valid Hakna, he didn't actually give it to her as a gift, and therefore the Mishnah tells us that if they were the husbands, they're not going to be hektish. The Rashi points out that when the Gemara tells us that the husband is giving the animals for the korbanos, the chora can't mean that she asked them for the nazirus explicitly and he gave them to her, because if that's the case, that's a hakama, that's accepting. He's saying, oh, if I give them to you, then and again later then be made for the neder, you have to be made for the hakama. That's another shayla, but here it sounded like you just made for the neder. So says the Rosh, we must be talking about a case where she generally asks, oh, can I have a korban for a shlamim? He says, oh, sure, it's nice idea to bring a shlamim. He doesn't know there was a shlamim nazir. Same thing for a dola. He doesn't realize that she's bringing the korban as a nazir, and then he finds out it's a nazir. He says, no way, I don't want her to be a nazir, and then he could be made for such a neder. That's the ukimta the Rosh has to make. Mikoach, that point is a very strong point that the Rosh is making, because otherwise, when he gives her such korbanos, that in fact would be a hakapa. Okay, moving right to the next Mishnah. If the animal was in fact the chatas that was hers, so then it has to be left to die, and the ola is going to be brought as an ola. So the Gemara says, Himinola. So where does she have property that her ola is going to be brought as an ola? Hamart mashakansa isha kanabayla. We learn that whatever a wife acquires, it's really her husband. That generally, again, the lach is that whatever the woman comes into her property when she gets it while married, that is going to remain the husband's. So says the Gemara, Amar Papa Shemiktsasa Meisasa Shemiktsasa rather Meisasa. That we're talking about the husband is obligated al pi the din of the ksuba. Right? We sort of learn this in Maseches Ksubas that he's chayav to give her a certain amount of food every month to provide for her needs, to provide for her for eating needs. So she ate less. She decided to take, let's say, half that amount. Probably not so healthy for her, but she ate half that amount. And she kept up the other half. That's fully hers. And therefore, she used that money and sold it and had enough money to bring her korbanos. That's one example. Ibaisima, or we could give another answer. Someone else gave it to her. Whatever the husband was going to get. So he had to say, he says to her, these are a gift on condition that her husband has no rights to them. That you can make that stipulation. If I remember, I thought that was such a machlokas, whether that works. But here the Gemara says it's dumb. Okay, fight there. Says the Gemara, Ola tikra of Ola, v'ashlamim tikra of Ola. The Ola is brought as a Ola, and the Shlam is brought as a Shlamim. Sorry, Shlamim tikra of Shlamim. So, Amar le Shmuel avua bar'i, Shmuel said to avua bar'i, Lo tisev al karech, don't sit down. Stand up, stay standing. He said, stand on your feet until you tell me the answer, ad amar le adam ilsa, tell me the answer to what we're discussing. What are they discussing? So Shimon points out, it doesn't tell us exactly, but Lechora, from Avua's answer, we could learn that Shmuel asked him to list him all the cases where a Nazir who's bringing a Shlamim would bring the Shlamim without bringing the Lechem that comes with the Shlamim generally. So this is going to be, Avua Bar'i is going to be his answer. Avua Bar'i. So says the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Elohen, Avua Bar'i says the following. Ve'elohen arba ilim sheinan tunin lechem. These are the four aisle. You have to bring a ram, as a korban, and you don't bring the bread along with it. So which ayilim shalav v'shalav v'shachar miso shachar kapara, his, hers after death and after they get kapara. So what are the four? Shalav had amran, hers, that which we already said in the Mishnah, where a woman designated her oran korban for nezirus, and her husband then was made for the neder. In that case, we say that you don't have to bring the lechem. Shalav, what's the case of shalav? This none. And the Mishnah tells us, and daf chav ches, we'll get to it later, ha'ish maders b'no b'nazir, a person can declare his son a nazir, ve'in ha'ish maders b'no b'nazir. So over there, we're going to see, it's a machlokas Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, what exactly is the nature of this halacha. According to Reish Lakish, this whole thing is just this halacha of din d'rabbanan of chinuch, to show him what it's like to be a nazir. However, according to Rabbi Yochanan, no, it's a full-fledged din d'raisa, it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai, and the halacha was told only about the father and not the mother, that the father can be madir his son to become a nazir, and he's also chayav to bring those karbanas, and not the mother. So, gileach oshe gilchu krovim, the son shaved his head, or relative shaved his head, that was a form of protest, as part of this halacha l'moshe m'sinai, or this din, according to Reish Lakish, the din of chinuch, if they are micha oshe michuach krovim, if they protested either by shaving his head, or actively protesting b'peh, saying this is not a good idea, so the halacha is, that would end the nazirus. However, ha'ilo maus tumim, if he already specified he didn't specify, he left korbanos, but he specified the money, he said he's going to leave $500 for the korbanos, so then, yiplu nedava. So those amounts should go to the voluntary communal korbanos, because you didn't specify that they're going to be for chatas, is not a problem. However, most mefarashim specified this $150 is for the ola, this $150 is for the shlam, and this $150 for the chatas. So the chatas yelchol yam melech. So the money set aside for the chatas has to go to yam melech, to the Dead Sea. The me ola yavil ola molin behen. The money of an ola is going to be halachas of an ola, and you'd be chayav meila for misusing that money, as we pointed out, because that is a korban which you could use. The me shlamim. Yaviu shlamim, the lacha by the shlamim is that they should be brought as a voluntary shlamim. The lacha is that may be eaten for just one day, but it does not require the accompanying breads that you have with them. So that's the first to his and hers. So the Gemara points out, so that was that case. Fine, we have heard it. What is shlachar misa min alam? What's the case of after that? As machlokas Rishonim, by the way, most Rishonim understand that the protest of the father, we'll get to this on Chav Ches more, that the protest that the father's making, that is going to be halacha. Only if the husband, some say only when the father dies. Others say no. I think the Rambam says it's even if the father's alive. If anyone is mocha, it's not a good idea to do it, and therefore we would cancel out the nazirus. So says the Gemara Vayter Shalachar Misa. What's the case, Minelan? What's the case, Tisanya? We learn it's really a Mishnah. It says it's none. Hamafrish Moslan Nazirus. So someone sets aside money for his nazirus, for his korban nazirus. He didn't specify which one's going to be brought for what. And lonen is halachas, you're not allowed to benefit from them. V'lomalam and you're not going to chayv meila, as I pointed out, because they're not necessarily brought for a specific korban. V'lomalam and mipnei roin la'avi bekulan shlamim, since they are all suitable to bring as a shlamim, that's why you're not using them. However, really, since part of them I really have a chatas in them, and that's a korban that can't be brought, you're not going to be chayv the halacha of meila. Meis v'ayu lamos sezumim, if he died and he had money that was sasum, not designated money. Yiplin deva the lachas, they go to the voluntary karbanos. We said that before is the ketzim izbeach. Maos mefurashin, you had specified funds. Then what do? Dmei chatas yolich leyam melech lanin almanin. Dmei ola yavil ola umalin behen. So dmei shlamim yor shlamim menachal in emechad. As we went at all these three lachas, the chatas, right? You can't use them, you have to throw them away. The ola, you do them yichayev meila, and the shlamim, you do also use them yichayev meila. Menachal in emechad ven anton in lechem. They do not require lechem. So here also, the fund set aside by a nazir who had died is similar, very very similar to the case of the case where a husband designates it for his wife, who no longer is, and then he's made for it. Shalachar kapara, so that's what is it after kapara? Svaru. So that's as far as shalachar misa ma'itam. What's the reason of achar misa? So that also, the lochazel kapara no longer chaya for a kapara. Achar kapara nami, also lochazel la kapara. So what exactly is the case of achar kapara? Where we're talking about a case where a person, you had already brought the korbanos. Another example, he designated an aisle, let's say, for his korban, but then he lost it, and then he replaced it with another aisle, brought that as a korban, then he found it later. So the halacha is, that's the halacha of achar kapara, the halacha over there is that you're going to be no longer chayav to bring it with a lechem. V'suleika, the Gemara asks though, is it really, is there no other, why there's only four cases that he responded to Shmuel? There's more. Vayika, Shar Kol Shlame Nazir Sheshachtan Shalokim Tzosan. All the other Shlamim that the Korbanos of a Nazir that were shechted, not according to the Lachas. So, that means that the Shlamim were shechted without the right Kavana. They had intention to eat them, or bring them as an Ola, let's say. So that Kshirim. So Lacha is that they're Kasher. that they're allowed to be brought on the Mizbeach, but you didn't bring them as a Shlamim, so he's not Yotze Shlamim. In that case, you're allowed to eat them, but you don't have to bring the bread or the Zrah. The Zrah is like the foreleg. So we see over here, this is an example where you bring the Korban without bringing the bread. Another example. Why do you only mention this, did not mention this one? So the Gemara says, So he says, when you respond to Shmuel, he's only listening to the halachas that were properly done. Things which are not listed in the way that they were supposed to be done is not mentioned by response to Shmuel. So that's why Avu Bar'i did not respond to him in that manner. Okay, we'll pick up with Hayol Lamos, assuming he put in tomorrow's daf.